I would like to thank the Fields Institute for inviting me, and I would like to thank you for being here. So I will speak about implicit plasma simulation codes. Not all of them. I will emphasize on direct implicit particle in cell codes. So I'm a astrophysicist, or more specifically, a space physicist. So why are we interested in the Maxwell-Vlasov theory in space plasma? Because most of the space plasma are non-collisional, and many interesting phenomena happen on boundaries. And when we can cross this boundary with satellites, we measure that their thickness can be typically a few ion Larmor radii. And when we observe the turbulence, we sometimes, and maybe I should say quite often, observe turbulence, heating, acceleration processes sometimes, and they invoke, at least they seem to invoke, fast space structures, structures that are in the location and velocities space. So for all these reasons, the usual MHD or multi-fluid variables are not appropriate. I precise the usual ones. So how to do? If we want to deal with the Maxwell-Vlasov system, we have seen that we can solve it analytically. It was, for instance, shown last week in his in scan course about the Landau absorption. We can also drop the Maxwell-Vlasov system and solve the Maxwell-Hamilton equations. That, for instance, can be done for the Landau theory or quasi-linear theory. And we can also derive from the Maxwell-Vlasov equations, fluid equations, through asymptotic expansion. And we can also do Maxwell-Vlasov numerical simulations. So Maxwell-Vlasov numerical simulations are not only interesting for plasma physicists, they are also interesting for people who study the dynamics of stars in the galaxy, because we can consider a galaxy as a self-gravitating gas whose elementary particles are stars, and the stars in a galaxy do not collide. In globular clusters, there can be some collisions, but not in galaxies. Cosmologists are also interested in these Vlasov-Poisson equations. It's Vlasov-Poisson, not Vlasov-Maxwell. 90 or more percent of the energy in the present universe is dark matter, is in the shape. And it's possible that this dark matter is composed of WIMPs, of weakly interacting massive particles, that is, particles that have only gravitational interactions, so they don't have collisions. And these people use simulation codes that have a lot of analogies with plasma codes. The big difference between these two family, this family and the plasma family, is that here all the particles have the same charge, they all attract each other, and so we don't have vibrations like we have in plasma. So concerning the implicit aspect of the code, this family of problems is quite different of the plasma. So to solve the Maxwell-Vlasov equations, there are Vlasov codes. They consider the distribution function, and they solve the Vlasov equation and the Maxwell equation. These codes have lots of qualities. For instance, they have no numerical noise, or you can control it. But they require huge memory, because you must describe this thing that is a 6D object. And so as the memory of the computer is finite, you must have a low dimensionality or a poor resolution. That is mainly a poor velocity resolution, because for the space resolution, you have constraints. on the other side, there are the n-body codes that consider the plasma as an assembly of particles, and the individual interactions are considered between every particle. So the computation time is proportional to n squared, and again, it's a lot of requirement now for computation time, but there are hardware specific solutions, for instance, people computing on Beowulf graph, I don't know how to say that. And there are particle in cell codes. So if we consider the Liouville form of the Vlasov equation, we can see that the characteristics of the Vlasov functions are particle trajectories. In particle in cell codes, we consider macro particle trajectories, and the plasma is considered as an assembly of finite size macro particles that move under the influence of an electromagnetic field, and the electromagnetic field is computed on a grid, and there are interpolation between the grid and the particle positions. So the data in a particle in cell code consists of an electromagnetic field. Okay, I wanted to write B here. That is computed on the grid, okay? And particle data that have location R and velocity V at time step N. For the notation, I index the particles by A sometimes, the grid elements by J, and time by N. To simulate a plasma, there is a condition. In a real plasma, it's the plasma condition. This number, 1 over the density times the the Debye length at the power of the dimension of the box, must be much smaller than 1. In a particle code, this becomes the number of macro particles in the code must be larger, much larger than the number of grid cells. So, how the computations are done? First, you have you compute initial value, and then a time evolution loop, and in the end, you stop after a few thousand time steps. So, the initial values, you compute them, and I would like to insist, it's not a trivial part of the job. If you simulate a uniform plasma with, for instance, velocity space structures, it may be rather easy. But if you want to initialize, for instance, with a non-uniform plasma, as you are solving the Vlasov equation, you must start from Vlasov equilibria. And they are not so easy to compute. Then, time evolution loop. You have an electromagnetic field on the grid, and you will move the particles, so you must interpolate the electromagnetic field from the grid to the particles location. Then you push the particles, you compute their velocity, then their location, and you do the reverse interpolation. You compute the charge density and the current density and other densities if you need them on the grid with the same interpolation coefficient. Then you define an electric field equation that is deduced from the Maxwell equation. You solve it and you compute the other related fields. And we will see that later, in case of a predictor corrector scheme, then you have to make a correction on the velocity of the particles. Sometimes you do diagnostics and you start again. I will give you a more precise formula. Okay, so the equations met in a particle in cell codes are of the second order generally. So I just want to make some very basic, assessments. Let's consider just an ordinary equation to make things simpler of the second order. If we make an expansion, so we define V as the velocity, and we, okay, normally you go from a second order to a first order system by defining a vector xn, xn dot, etc. Here, you don't compute the derivative at the same time as the function. So let's make this development very simple. We make the difference, and we see that if we compute the velocity, the first derivative of the function, it's not obviously a position, it works also for Maxwell equations, not at the same time as at the function, we get a very simple scheme that is accurate up to the second order. So this is called the leapfrog scheme, or saute-mouton in French. So if we re-inject what was before in the equation, we get this and this for the function and its derivative. So it's accurate to the second order, and Vn plus 1 half, that the one we want to compute, is also on this side. So we might think it's an implicit code, an implicit scheme. We will see that in plasma codes, it's very easy to remove the implicitness. We can solve this equation directly. This kind of equation do not have the stability property of what we expect from implicit equations. It means that if the delta, if for instance there is a phenomenon of higher frequency omega, HF, and if we take a time step that is too large, the system will converge toward a solution that is really, really wrong. And that is, in fact, it does not necessarily converge, because for instance, if we take here an oscillator, we can compute manual enhance and find that if delta t, omega harmonic, is too large, we get an exponentially growing oscillation. So we don't want that. If, for instance, here we have the Lorentz force, V cross B, we can see that with delta t times the gyro frequency too large, the particle rotates in the plane perpendicular to the magnetic field, but with the wrong frequency, that is usually much lower, and a wrong Larmor radius that can be also very large. So this this scheme can be solved explicitly, but it is not useful for a big time steps. So here are the equations. They are very classical. They have been derived and published in the 80s, in 83. So this is the interpolation scheme. So from the grid to the particle position. So the particle position is here, and S is a shape function, as was shown this morning by Rick Sidora. And in this code, we use a shape function that is a triangle, so in a 2D pyramid. Then we move the particle with the equation that I've already discussed. Then we do the reverse interpolation to get the source term of the Maxwell equations, and we solve the Maxwell equations. So there is, it's Faraday. Ampere equation. Faraday equation is here with an iterated value at times n plus 1 half. You see we have the same time difference for the leapfrog scheme, and we have also space shift in space to use the leapfrog scheme for the derivative of the electromagnetic field. Then we have an extrapolation that is useful for the particle pusher, because we need on the particle pusher the magnetic field at time at integer times here. So this one is not propagated. decentered, but it's not propagated. And then also we need to solve the Poisson equation. So if we combine all that, we can find that the electric field is the solution, is the sum of field EM and of a gradient that are the solutions of these two equations. The condition of the divergence of B is conserved. We just need to set it in the initial conditions. So as I already said, we would like to have implicit codes to get rid of this constraint. So let's go back to our second order ordinary equation. Then the derivative can be developed not from n plus 1 from Vn, but from Vn plus a little something, because alpha is just larger than 1/2. We get this straightforward, and if alpha equal 1/2, we recover the explicit scheme, and if it's a bit larger by difference, we get this scheme. Vn plus 1, I don't know, can you see it well? Okay. Vn plus 1/2 equal Vn minus 1/2 plus this, and this is time decentered, and you can express these quantities by interpolation from xn plus 1 and xn and Vn plus 1/2 and Vn minus 1/2. And then, again, you have an implicit scheme, but the xn plus 1 is also here. If you combine this with the equation that I have not written again for x, you have now a more intricate implicit scheme, and it's called time-decentered implicit scheme, and it has a good property. It's unconditionally stable. At least I was told so. But the solution is only accurate to the first order, and so we can reach large time steps. Yeah? Good question. I don't know. I've not think about it.
What's the difference between alpha equal 1/2 and alpha greater than 1/2 here?
The difference between alpha?
1/2 is just this
one. Alpha greater than 1/2. Motohiko Tanaka, who used this algorithm, got an implicit code that is unconditionally stable. But when alpha is equal 1/2, it's not unconditionally stable, because you can have diverging oscillations. And then, if you take, for instance, an harmonic oscillator here, with a larger delta t, the oscillation is damped instead of being amplified. Yeah?
For some simple other types of problems,
no, the energy decays. Ah, yeah, okay, that's the answer. So, this scheme is accurate to the first order, and we have seen that the leapfrog is accurate to the second order for cheap, so it would be nice to keep the second order precision. So, there is another scheme that is called the direct implicit scheme. So, now we develop f, the function, here is its derivative. So we develop around f at the time step n, so n plus 1 and n minus 1. So you see now we have two time steps of difference between this and this. And with the other developments, we had one time step. So we add these two developments, and we replace f at time n by the sum of f at time n minus 1 and n plus 1. And it is, so from this we can see that it is accurate to the second order. This is called, so this is implicit because the data at time step 1 plus 1 is here on the right-hand side. And this scheme is also considered to be unconditionally stable. Personally, I have checked this for by hand for the harmonic oscillator.
I think that in what you are saying, I suspect something is implicit that not necessarily implies that it's unconditionally stable, because also the literal, the way you present it, is unconditionally stable. You are talking about being dissipative. That's why you introduce here more in emerging dissipation, and also in the other case, more emerging dissipation.
Yeah.
It's not so much the unconditional stability. That's what I gather from here.
Okay. Okay.
You really want to dissipate the high
motion. Yeah. This scheme is the one I like. So I will now develop upon this. So how to solve the implicit equation? Just this one and the one for x. There is a method that is the direct, the predictor-corrected method. And concerning plasma, the indirect implicit scheme with predictor-corrector was studied first by Friedman et al. And Barnes et al. And Langdon et al. In the early 80s. So how to do? We compute from these two, this equation and the x equation, everything that we know. We compute an estimate of Vn plus 1/2, 1/2 here, and xn plus 1/2. So a prediction and a correction, a prediction with a tilde and a correction with delta. The prediction is computed from everything that we know at time step n, and the correction with the rest, with the other things. It's possible to iterate this. So how does this work? Oops, sorry. In a particle in cell codes, we have plenty of equations and plenty of variables. So we have a problem that does not exist with we have a problem that do not exist with ordinary equations. Which unknown must be made implicit? So we could be implicit on everything, and we would get a very, very complicated system, plenty of algebra, and probably in the end an equation, for instance, on the electric field, that would be very ill-conditioned and very difficult to solve. So it's wiser to introduce a low number of well-chosen implicit variables and to keep the others explicit. So how to choose a direct implicit variable? Replacing, for instance, the variable x by x bar, that is the average between x in the future and x bar in the past. So how to choose this, these variables that can be made implicit? Then we have to think of what we want to get rid of. So what are the highest frequencies in a plasma? The light waves, they propagate at C, they have a high frequency, and they do not interact with the particles. For the light waves, the plasma is transparent. Then we have the electron plasma waves, so the electrostatic oscillations at this frequency that is well known from plasma physicists. And also we have the gyromotion of the electrons. The other frequency, for instance, the gyromotion of the ions are much slower, and it's reasonable to keep them. At least I choose to keep them. So then we identify these three kinds of high frequency phenomena. We have to make an ordering. In low magnetized plasma, the light wave frequency is higher than the plasma frequency, that is much higher than the cyclotron frequency. It's the case of most of the space plasma. But there are also highly magnetized plasma, for instance, in the auroral zones of the planetary magnetosphere, in some regions of the solar corona and in some astrophysical jets where the the gyro frequency is higher than the plasma frequency. This corresponds to plasma betas much smaller than one. And there is the intermediate case where these two frequencies are of the same order. So, how to be implicit on the light waves? So there is this scheme. I could not find the original author of it. Sorry. I don't know who invented it. So we take again the same equation as before, but on the Faraday equation, we replace the electric field by an implicit value. That is the average between the future electric field and the past electric field. So here we don't separate transverse and longitudinal fields. It's a different method than the one presented this morning by Rick Sidor. So here it's very easy to solve this equation and the implicitness. Okay, we can solve it explicitly, but we have introduced this kind of diffusion that you said, and the equations are still the same, but now we have the source term here is different, but the shape of the equation is the same, and we have get rid of the light wave with that.
What do you mean the implicitness is removed? Your equations are still involved multiple things in the future time step.
Sorry? The future time step? Yeah, you just have to combine these two equations and this one, and you get En plus 1 in an equation like this, in this equation. And the En bar minus 1 appears here, and okay, it's I have no time to do the algebra, but it's not a problem. Then, if we want to be implicit on the plasma oscillation, for the plasma oscillation, here there is an electric field acceleration, and we decide to be implicit on the electric field acceleration. This method was invented by Huet and Langdon, who discussed also a lot with Jean-Claude Adam and Anne Héroux. And here we have to do a predictor-corrector scheme. And okay, so we do a predictor-corrector scheme. So there is some there are some manipulations to do. So for each particle, we have a prediction, a correction. We put this in the Maxwell equation I've shown you before, where in the electric current computation and in the charge computation, and then in the end we get this equation for the electric field with new tensors here. Okay, it's still easy to solve. So I will key is a tensor that comes from G algebra, and okay, I've not written it here, but it's a sum over the particles with shape factors. Okay, we can also be implicit upon the particle motions. So usually people to do guiding centers, so we decide to do guiding center theory, not gyrokinetic theory. Guiding center, it's more restrictive. And they use this equation for the perpendicular velocity and this one for the parallel one. In blue, I have put the notations given in Pierre-Louis Sulem last week, for those who were last week. But there is another one equation given in Northrop's book, and it belongs to the theory presented last week by Sulem. The equation for the guiding center is just that. And we decided to solve this, but we have to introduce dissipation to remove this oscillating part. And this is done here, using here an implicit velocity that we just put in this part of the equation. Okay, there are some more details here, but as I have no time, I jump. But in the end, we get again an equation that can be solved and that is well conditioned. So here are some examples of the tensors that I get after these manipulations. So now in the plasma regimes where both plasma and electron cyclotron frequency are comparable, it's interesting to be implicit both on the electric acceleration, on the velocity, the Lorentz force. Here there is this term that comes from the guiding center theory, plus correction, I won't comment on this. We do some algebra and we get this equation. These equations, again with the tensors like the one I showed you, the same kind. And this equation for large time step and large magnetic field are ill-conditioned. And I can't solve them with iterative methods. I've not studied why they are ill-conditioned yet, but we have checked this with an engineer in numerical methods. So the applications, time-decentered implicit codes, whom I have introduced, have been developed by Professor Tanaka, and he has been using them for the study of collisionless magnetic reconnection. The direct implicit code with the full electron dynamics, so they are implicit on light waves and on the plasma frequency, have been used for the study of the bow shock in the solar wind and adding Monte Carlo ionization collision for the modelization of the stationary regime of a plasma thruster, plasma engine used to accelerate space probes. And okay, these are the applications in France with people whom I know. I know that these codes are also used in other communities in the United States. And concerning direct implicit codes that do not damp the plasma frequency but use the electron guiding center theory. So I have made this code in 98 and we have been using it for simulations. So just to end my talk, I'll show you a little movie. So this is for the study of the oval zone of the Earth. We consider here how the electron and the ion densities. The magnetic field is in this direction. This box is very long. Here it's enlarged in this direction. So we put a plasma cavity and we add on it an Alphen wave. And the Alphen wave propagates along, initially it propagates along the magnetic field. And the cavity is distorted because of the E cross B drift, the E being the electric field of the Alphen wave. And if the Alphen wave propagates parallel, there is no parallel electric field. And here, in fact, here the Alphen velocity is larger than here because of the change of density and the magnetic field do not change very much. So the Alphen wave front is distorted. And here it's oblique. And when an Alphen wave is oblique, on a scale here that is comparable to a few ion gyro radii, it starts to create an electric field. So first the electric field is on a large scale, and then we can see it evolving, and we can see local coherent structures that appear on the place where there is some acceleration. And some go in the direction of the Alphen wave, and some others go on the opposite direction. And in the end, the Alphen wave has given to the plasma most of its energy. The cavity is still here, ready to accelerate plasma when another Alphen wave will come. and just to show that with this kind of simulation we can deal at the same time alpha and wave, so MHD processes, and having a kinetic view on the plasma. This is the projection of the phase space, Z being the direction of the magnetic field. This is initial distribution on the gradient here of the plasma cavity. And we can see first some heating of the electron that is not symmetric, and then runaway electrons that create a beam, and this beam creates electrostatic structures, vortices, and this develops, and then we start to have a real beautiful turbulence with hydrodynamics effects that play with the whole distribution functions, fast electron holes and slow electron holes, plenty of things that we expect to see in the aural turbulence. Okay.